I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
This is Richard Blissbrook, and today we have the opportunity for another Roads to Diamond interview. I have the opportunity today to interview Jill Sager from Winter Park, Florida. She has a pretty extraordinary story. Jill, thank you for joining us at Road to Diamond.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Awesome. So what we're doing in this project, folks, if you've been listening to any of these interviews, is my vision is to interview every diamond and above in Young Living, which might take me the rest of my life because they keep popping, right? I don't think I'll ever catch up to them. But I'll be doing multiple interviews a week for the next year just to try to catch up. And the idea is to give you all the stories and the stats that make up multiple roads to diamond. You know, some people make it in a couple of years, and some people it takes 10 years, and everybody has a different path. And what you're going to learn from studying these interviews is perhaps you're going to learn what your path is, and you're going to learn the inspiration and belief that whatever your path is, you can make it. You can make it to diamond, and you can make it to beyond. And that's why we call them the road to diamond. So, Jill, thank you so much for joining us. Let's just kick this off by you telling us, before Young Living, who were you? Where were you? What were you before somebody asked you to take a look?
Yeah, before Young Living, I actually worked as an orthopedic surgery physician assistant. So I was in the hospital. I was in the OR, in the clinic, seeing patients. I was working about 60 or more hours every single week. I was hardly home. At the time, I had a baby and a husband and a home to take care of. And I was just at the hospital more than I was at home.
And so you can share the name if that's important. What's most important is, how did you know this person? Who introduced you to Young Living? And as precisely as you can remember, what did they say to you that compelled you to take a look?
I was actually on social media, and I was looking at Instagram, and I was seeing all of these women that were home with their kids. I saw them at the beach. I saw them just very present in their lives. And I remember not being jealous, but seeing a life that I wanted, that I desired, and I deserved. And so I actually put a call out on my social media that said, hey, I'm really curious about these products. Can somebody help me? And one of my friends messaged me on Instagram and said, I've got what you need.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't we all hope for that? Now, what you're going to have everybody busy doing is going right to their Instagram, and they're going to be posting away, and then they're going to be waiting like a little puppy, waiting for somebody to say, hey, tell me all about that. I suppose that works sometimes. Mm-hmm. So awesome in this case that it worked. What did you know about network marketing before you reached out to ask somebody to tell you more about it? And how did you feel about network marketing?
I knew nothing about network marketing. I knew that I was working as an orthopedic surgery PA, and I got paid a salary. And all I saw about a product and anything close to network marketing was that people were having success. I had no idea the ins and outs. So I actually didn't have a feeling about it. When I got into it, I didn't even know what it meant. And so I just saw a compensation plan and said, if this is how I make money, then that's what I have to do. I have to fill in those boxes and make it happen. So I never had a negative view on it.
So you just sort of saw recruiting and team building as well, that's what you do and that's your job.
Yeah. I said, if you're telling me that that's how I get the life that I deserve to happen, then that's what I'm going to do.
Awesome. So how did you go about doing it? Tell us about the first year. I'm interested in who you approached, how you approached people. And of course, we want to get to the number. An important number is how many people anybody personally enrolls in their first year. The more up to a certain point, the faster things are going to go. So tell us how you approached that, who you went after, and what kind of response you got, and what kind of numbers you put together.
My first year was, I remember being so excited about the product that I just kept telling everybody. I was posting on social media. I was talking to people. Where I was working, I couldn't talk about the product because it was surgery, clinic, whatever. So it was like I had to work in the spaces in between. So like my lunch break, before, after. And during that time, I just was really connecting with people on a one-on-one basis, whether it was text message or a phone call or answering questions. And it was almost like my excitement got them so excited because I had something that would help them. And so they're like, well, if Jill's excited about this and she believes in it, I want to be a part of that as well. So my first year, I wound up enrolling personally 79 people. And when I was going over my numbers, I was like, that's so much more than I thought. And when I added them up, I was like, wow, that's a lot of lives impacted simply through me loving the product and sharing it and finding a need that my friends had.
Do you remember having any concern in that first year about how you would look by telling everyone about it?
I did, because of my background. All of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, they know that I have degrees, and are they going to be like, well, why is she doing that when she has this successful job and she already makes a good income? Why would she be doing this as well? Or why is she, but it quickly went away. That feeling just never stayed around because I saw so many people being helped by it. It was like, I've always wanted to help people, and I was finally able to do it in a way that felt good to my soul. So I really didn't pay those negative thoughts much mind. And I think that's really what kept me motivated through that first year, just to keep going.
Yeah. Enthusiasm, just completely on fire, kind of a reckless abandon approach to building, mm-hmm. which that's usually where most of our growth takes place, is in that reckless abandon phase. I'm curious, out of the 79 people that you enrolled in year one, how many of them represent legs for you, significant legs?
Well, I can tell you that the top leaders that I do have probably are about 10% of that.
10% of that, meaning?
So around like 8 people are solid big builders.
Out of those 79? Yeah, beautiful. So what I find, Jill, and one of the things I'm flushing out of all these interviews is, you know, what are the ratios and statistics that people end up with? And what I find is that somewhere between 5 and 10% of the people that we personally enroll end up actually building legs.
Yeah.
And so you have a higher ratio than most people. What would you attribute that to? A conversion from, hey, let me tell you about Young Living, to those people actually engaged in building their own teams. Do you have some secret sauce, some strategies, some perspectives that you engaged with those people that had them see the opportunity?
It's funny. I literally was just thinking about this because I was going over, all right, the past 5 years, what does it really look like for me? And why was I having so much success in that first year with enrolling? And I realized I got a lot of them to enroll their first member in the month that they enrolled. And I was thinking, how did I do that? You know, what kind of conversations was I having? And I remember that it was almost like I presented that business right away, that it was, these products are amazing, but the business side of it is really amazing as well. And I don't think I did it in a way of like, here's the compensation plan, but more of like, this is what I'm doing. You should do this too.
Yeah. You know, what that kind of speaks to, Jill, is I have this phrase I use a lot about like the essence of network marketing is once we find a product that we absolutely are in love with and we'll tell everyone about, how we go about pursuing wealth is recruiting recruiters. And I think what happens to a lot of people is they get in the business, and if they get to the place where they say, okay, I'm going to recruit some people, the people they tend to see themselves recruiting aren't actually doing what they're doing. They sort of see, well, I want to get you in, and you know, you do whatever you want with the products. You sell the products. You use the products. I'm the recruiter. You're more the distributor. And yet, what we really want to do is, if we want duplication, is we want to pass on the same vision that we have. And if the vision we have is to build a team, then we want to recruit people who are going to build a team.
Right.
Sounds like that's what you did.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what, do you remember what rank you were by the end of year one?
I was gold.
Well, that's that'll pretty much keep you fueled to go to year two.
Yeah, well, and I had a goal in mind that I wanted to be able to leave my job at the end of that year one, and that aligned with that gold ranking. And so I never had a plan B. It was literally plan A or nothing.
And did you leave your job at the end of the first year?
I did. Almost a year to the day, I handed in my resignation.
Wow. So second year, you're full-time. That's a whole different ball game. There's not really, what people find out when they go full-time is, wow, there's really not that much to do. It's not like a 10-hour-a-day job. What was going full-time like for you, and what did you do your second year? Did your strategy change? Did your style change? Tell us about the second year.
Second year was a little chaotic, only because I was coming from such a structure of, I had to fit my business in certain pockets of time to, what does home life and working from home look like with family and other obligations? So I found myself doing a lot of busy work, more so than work that I knew was actually going to grow my business. But through that, I could weed out and realize, okay, I should be doing more of this. I should be doing less of this. And so I was really honing in on, how do I do this from home? What does my schedule look like? What should I do when I wake up in the morning?
Yeah. I think that's one of the challenges people have when they go full time, is they now, all instead of having an hour a day that they might be able to work the business, they have 10 hours to work it. And so they actually don't focus and they don't concentrate their effort. It would be a great gift if the way the profession was offered people was, you can only work this business 1 hour a day.
I agree.
The hour, and whatever you're going to get done, you need to get done in that hour. People would be way more productive, and they would actually have a better balanced life, because they would squeeze all of that activity into that precious hour. So what was your rank at the end of year two, if you remember, and how many people did you enroll in year two?
Year two, I personally enrolled 29, and I was a platinum.
Wow. So you did a lot of depth work in year two, working with leaders to build their own legs, to build their depth, to rank advance.
Yep.
Okay. So let's go fast forward to the end of year four. I kind of like to see how much substance is there in the four-year career. Do people actually build any kind of empire in 4 years? How many people had you enrolled at the end of 4 years, and where were you?
Well, in my fourth year, I enrolled 12 people, and then we were the rank of diamond. And I actually, your book was pivotal in the beginning of my career. There was like one sentence that I read in there that said, if you can't find the time to host two events in a month, like, rethink this, because you're just doing it as a hobby. And I remember that light bulb going off, and that was in year one. And I held on to that every single month all the way through, so that when I looked back, I was like, wow, that was a turning point of me deciding, I want to do this as a business.
Yeah, beautiful. So at the end of 4 years, you're a diamond, and mm-hmm. I have it here somewhere. You had personally enrolled 133 people.
Yes.
And, you know, that maps right on everybody I've ever interviewed that's crushed the four-year career. They personally enrolled in the first 2 years, 80 to 100 people. you did a little bit more than that, and you did 133 over 4 years. And diamond volume, that's a quarter million or more a month. And then, so what happened after that? You're now entering year six, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about year five.
Year five, we wound up around 11,842 members total. We did hit the rank of Crown Diamond. It just showed the ability of what my team had. We really focused on community. I think that was the biggest change going year four or five, and what we're doing now is not just saying, hey, you can build this business on your own. Like, nobody is an island. We're better if we all come together and work for this goal together. And that was a big shift that I saw going from Diamond into Crown. And we did, I mean, every single time that I've hit a rank, silver and above, we've fallen back. But I've had the biggest lessons in those fallbacks. Whenever it's happened, I've never gotten disappointed. I held up the mirror and said, what do we have to do better? Because that means that somebody else is falling back too. So how can we do better so that we can keep on growing individually, but as a team? And so I think the year five and year six is really about community growth, personal development. And that's where I'm seeing a lot of substantial growth coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such a great point, Jill, that, you know, this business, even though you might be able to show it on a piece of paper, you know, four who get four, who get four, who get four, who get four, who get four. It doesn't ever work that way. It is purely organic and it's very random and it's very fickle and life gets in the way. Sometimes life gets in the way of your number one leader. And so it's like we've probably all seen that social media graphic that success is not, you know, this straight line. Success like does like this and like, you know, like this, and you have all these crises and trauma and setbacks, and if you stay after it and hold your vision, you eventually end up there. But
yeah,
the road is a windy road. Sometimes you backtrack for a while, sometimes you run off the road, sometimes you have little wrecks, right?
Yes, and sometimes big wrecks.
You made this great point, Jill, that you don't learn much when things are going great. You know, we all want things to go great, and it's fun when they're going great, and that's the point, is to make things go great. But we learn when we pay attention to what's going on that things aren't going great. That's when we really learn. And so you've articulated that beautifully, that what you've done is, okay, you skyrocketed to Crown, and then you fell back, and that what that had you do is focus on, okay, how can I do this better? How can I get to Crown and grow through Crown? And that really causes us to assess and get creative, like you did with the community thing. And we all do this better if we do it together. Great concept. So let's move to a couple of philosophical things, Jill. In your 6 years, what's the biggest mistake you've made? And it could have been a one-time blunder or it could be a bad habit. Can you, I know I didn't prep you for this, so.
It's all right. I'm always ready for this question because I love it. I didn't know the compensation plan well enough in the beginning. So
wow.
I built too narrow. And yes, it really helped me in the beginning to build. But what I realized was I was duplicating something where a foundation wouldn't be stable for others or myself. And when I finally figured that out, I was like, the answer's been in the compensation plan the whole time.
So how did you learn the compensation plan? And how have you taken that mistake and promoted it to your team to prevent them from making it?
I actually printed out the compensation plan because initially, how I learned it was just my upline had said, this is what we should do. And it all sounded really good. I completely understand why they taught it in the way that they did. And then when I came to my realization of I'm missing something because my foundation isn't as solid as I wanted it, I printed out the comp plan. I went to the virtual office and I literally studied everything I could. I broke down every box to say, where is my check coming from? How am I going to make this actually add up to what I need it to be? And then I realized that the bonus structure that was actually in place sets us up from star to Royal Crown Diamond. And if I could teach that rising star bonus as how we should build, everybody would be set up all the way through. And so I just had that light bulb moment of the answer was right in front of me. I just didn't know to look at it at that time. So that's how I teach now. And so I learned from that. And I'm seeing that people who are coming in since that time that are taking on like, hey, this is how we should grow. They're growing a much more stable foundation for their business. And it's beautiful.
Okay. So on the flip side of that, without using the opposite of that mistake as the answer, give us something brand new. What's the smartest thing that you have done in the last 6 years?
Learn that everybody has different communication styles. I got in my way a whole lot in the beginning, and it wasn't until I understood that I didn't have all the answers, that I should really lean on other people because they have strengths where I have weaknesses, and that we can come together. And I really had to hone in on how I talk to people, how I talk to myself, and realize just to listen probably was the biggest part, is listen how other people respond to me and what their needs are, and then work from that. It, communication, just huge, huge in the business.
Well, it sounds like you've done some personal development. You want to tell people where you went for that? What program did you go to? What did you read? What did you listen to that made a difference?
Well, I've done a few things. I started, with books. Any books that I could get my hand on, For Your Career, Mach 2, those were like staples. Another book, Girl Code. It really helped me understand that you can raise other women up in this business, and that you can have these champagne dreams. You know, if you want a private jet, have one. If you want to start an orphanage, you can have that too. And we should all build each other. Then once the books, I was like, okay, I need something more. I need somebody to tell me how it is. I went to an Eric Worre one-day seminar. I went through the GoPro coaching, found a one-on-one coach through there that was wonderful. I've also done Brandon Barber coaching, that's most recently, and he has really helped me kind of even excel at things where I didn't even know that they existed as blockers in my mind. And so I just know that I can do all of the coaching, but I have to turn around and do something with it. And so whenever I read a book, or I decide to go to a seminar or do something with a coach, I promise myself that within 3 months, I'm going to learn something and make it move my business forward. Otherwise, I've got to stop and say, what am I doing?
Right. A lot of people read a lot of books. What I like to tell people is, if you're going to read a book, perhaps study the book so well that you can teach it, because if you can't teach it, what good is it to read it?
Yeah. And that's a great point.
If you think about some of the books that really have lasting influence on people's lives, they're not books that people just read to put a notch on their wall. You know, I read 100 books. It's books that people carry around with them and they refer to for their entire life. That's how your life changes. And then in our business, we have the opportunity to duplicate what we've learned. So being able to teach those things creates huge impact exponentially in what we do. So here's a question for you, Jill. I am probably, like a lot of people listening to this interview, a little bit stuck. We find that most people in network marketing are stuck. Most people in Young Living are stuck in relationship to their ambitions. Like, they have a vision, they have a dream of, I want to get to this place, I want to build this thing, I want to get to this rank or this income. Most people at any given time are in some sort of struggle mode. If I'm one of those people, let's say, I'm an executive or I'm a silver and I'm kind of stuck. And you have a couple of minutes to unstick me. What would you say to me?
I would ask you why you're doing this. And then I wouldn't just take for granted what your answer is. I would dig through, I do an exercise called the 7 levels of why that I learned, and I get down to the real core of what's going to put your feet on the ground to move forward with the business. Because anybody who is stuck, I realize they don't have a why that burns them to go forward. And I can't unstuck somebody or unstick somebody, you know, like, but I can help them realize why they want to do this in the first place.
Yeah. Well, there, you just hit the nail on the head. So, you know, when people say, you know, well, we can't motivate other people. Well, I say, well, that's actually what we get paid for. And the way you motivate people is you ask them questions. And the answers to the questions, that the words that come out of their mouth, they watch those words come out of their mouth. They see the vision that comes out of their mouth. That's what shifts them, is their own answers. What people are missing is they don't know the questions to ask. And then, like you said, you don't take the answer for granted, because we may ask people a question, they may answer it, but that's just a superficial answer. And what's going to move them is to take them to another level. Awesome, awesome answer. Beautiful. Last thing I want you to tell people is, what's next for Jill? Like, if you look out on the horizon over the next 4 or 5 years, you and Young Living, what are you up to? What are you going to create? Are you going to rest, retire, go forth and conquer? What's your plan?
My joy is in seeing what I am capable of building. I'm a doer. I'm a creator. I want to see everybody succeed. So my goal is to have, I have 7 legs. And so I want each leg to hit silver. Most 6 out of the 7 have hit silver. So then in my head, it's okay, now I want gold. Now I want them at platinum. So I want to see them each move up through those ranks and just serve them and help them get the goals that they want, because then mine will follow.
Yeah, Zig Ziglar is famous for telling us that we can get everything and we want. We can get everything we want in life when we help enough other people get what they want. And isn't that a beautiful thing about network marketing and the compensation plan is, and that's actually, I think you probably agree, that's the best strategy for advancing ourselves, mm-hmm. is don't set the goal for you to advance. Set the goal for your team to advance to what's next for them. And then not only are we taken care of, but we tend to advance through whatever our next rank is when we focus on supporting our team to get to their rank. Beautiful future for you, Jill. I hear so many wonderful things about contribution you are, not only to your team, but everybody that taps into your wisdom and your passion and your skill set. Congratulations. You're a huge contribution to the Young Living community. I appreciate you sharing your story here.
This is wonderful. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us for yet another Road to Diamond interview. Study it. I'll bet every time you listen to Jill's story, you'll hear something different. Another nugget. You couldn't listen to it too many times. Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthrurank.com. We'll see you there.